Well, hello, this is DJ Frederick, and you're tuned into the Radio Thrift Shop right here on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London on a beautiful Saturday night and online at classicalwscs.org. The Radio Thrift Shop is your weekly time capsule into days of futures past, featuring folk, jazz, easy listening, classic rock, indie pop, lo-fi, and privately released music in a variety of musical genres from the early 1900s through music being released next week. It's never the same program once or twice. And it's no secret that ye old DJ Frederick is a fan of library and production music. So this evening on the Thrift Shop, we're going to hear a selection of rare and unusual library music. It's the library edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. Thank you. Trajan Popescu with the Adagio for Harp and Orchestra from 1977. And before that, a library band known as the Physicians with Keep On Dancing. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You've found the Radio Thrift Shop, celebrating shortwave AM, FM, and community radio, broadcasting like it's 1969. We're going to take a little break right now for about 5 minutes and listen to an episode of Laura Erickson's For the Birds.
Throughout my life, from the time I was a small child learning to read via the comics page in the Chicago Tribune through this very day, I've loved Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, Snoopy, Schroeder, and their friends. Because I loved Peanuts so much from my earliest childhood through my entire adulthood, it was natural that I'd mention Woodstock in my book, Sharing the Wonder of Birds with Kids. While I was researching it in 1996, I wrote to Charles Schulz himself asking about Woodstock. I wrote, "Did Snoopy ever figure out what kind of bird Woodstock is? Last I recall, he was thumbing through a field guide and speculating that he might be a ruby-crowned kinglet, though I can't find that strip and don't have a clue where it might be indexed. As an ornithologist and avid birder, I've noted that Woodstock's flight pattern is exactly like that of a cedar waxwing after eating fermented berries, his plumage rather like a yellow warbler's, and his crest like a great curassow or resplendent quetzal. I might have guessed that he was a unique hybrid of these species, except that his friends looked just like him. So my conclusion is that they belong to a rare and unique species thus far undescribed in the ornithological literature. Ornithologists classify birds primarily by analyzing mitochondrial DNA and other cellular samples from blood and other tissue and through close examination of the skeleton. But I assume Woodstock doesn't want to donate tissue samples, and his skeleton is obviously still in use. I concluded in my letter to Charles Schulz, there have been rare cases where a newly discovered species was named based on drawings or photographs. Since you are the only person who has actually seen Woodstock and drawn him from life, you are the only one qualified to assign him common and scientific names. Have you ever considered doing this? My letter was dated February 2nd, and I received a response from Charles Schulz dated February 13th. He wrote that Woodstock, quote, and Snoopy have never been able to figure out what kind of bird he is, and a lot of people forget that he was originally a girl bird, for she was Snoopy's secretary, end quote. I was thrilled beyond measure. I used the information in my book and hung the letter from Charles Schulz up in my office. There it remained until just last year when I received a letter from the Charles M. Schulz Museum in Santa Rosa, California. For the 50th anniversary of the Woodstock Music Festival, which was where Charles Schulz took his little bird character's name, they put together an exhibit titled Peace, Love, and Woodstock. And oddly enough, though Charles Schulz disposed of most of his fan mail, my letter was filed away with a handwritten Woodstock info added to the top. The museum staff wondered if Schulz had ever responded, so I scanned my letter from him and sent it to them. Then they wondered if I'd be willing to let them borrow the original for the exhibit. Of course, I said yes and sent it off. When the exhibit was set up, Benjamin Peary, the museum registrar, sent me photos of the correspondence hanging in the exhibit. Thrilling as that was, it led to a most natural yearning to go to Santa Rosa to see the exhibit up close and personal. So Russ and I decided to take a trip to California, which we did just last week. The Woodstock exhibit traced Schulz's use of birds in the cartoons from the beginning through his fine-tuning of the Woodstock character. Just about every time we walked into the room with my correspondence on display, someone was actually reading the two letters, which was gratifying to say the least. I love that a quarter century ago, Charles Schulz read a letter that I wrote to him, and I love that he thought it significant enough to both answer my letter and then file it away. I love that the bird character he created is still beloved today, and that my little correspondence with him became part of an exhibit specifically about that bird, coincidentally and magically marking my own beloved Snoopy's 50th birthday. I lead a freakishly happy and rich life, all because of birds. Who could ask for anything more? You can see photos of the exhibit and my correspondence with Charles Schulz on today's blog post. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.
Thank you.
released as part of the Bosworth Music Library. That was the Gary Pacific Orchestra with a tune called Knitting. Before that, Anthony Maurer with Liberty Line. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Library Music Edition of the Radio Thrift Shop.
Thank you.
Bluebirds from 1973 with a tune called Keep Cool. And we definitely try to keep cool and keep it cool here at the Radio Thrift Shop. Before that, the Kooky Freeman original Velvet Sound with Count the Lights of San Francisco. And that would probably be like Counting the Stars or something. Well, you have found it. This is the Radio Thrift Shop, homegrown and homemade radio. Exploring cinematic soundscapes, psychedelic pop, library music, and more.
Exploring science and the sea. Most of the time, an icebreaker that doesn't plow through the ice is about as useful as a car without wheels. But a German icebreaker is scheduled to make an important scientific expedition while frozen inside the ice. The research vessel Polar Stern will study the Arctic for a year. The mission's goal is to collect information that will help scientists develop better models of how the climate is changing. The icebreaker will leave Norway in September and head for icy waters north of Siberia. About 600 people will spend time on the ship. They'll be shuttled in and out by other icebreakers. Once Polar Stern is frozen in place, scientists will set up remote stations on the ice up to 30 miles away. The entire network will drift close to the North Pole during winter, then southward into the Atlantic Ocean. At the same time, aircraft will fly missions above the network to study the upper atmosphere. Arctic waters have been warming at a faster rate than the rest of the planet. But climate models don't do a good job of explaining why that's the case. A poor understanding of this region makes it harder to develop models that explain the global climate. Mission scientists will study the ice, the ocean, and the atmosphere. They'll probe what happens when the ice freezes and when it melts. They'll study the effects of the changing ice on the ocean and on marine life. And they'll look at how changes in the Arctic may cause changes to other parts of the planet, all while drifting with the ice. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute at Port Aransas and is available as a weekly podcast at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
This is DJ Frederick. Welcome back to the Radio Thrift Shop. For the rest of the program, we're going to explore some music by Sven Liebeck. Now, Sven Liebeck is one of my favorite composers personally. I first heard his music in some of the films of Wes Anderson, like Life Aquatic. Now, he is also a fellow Norwegian. He was born in 1938. He was trained as both a pianist and an actor. He's a graduate of the Juilliard School in New York. And during his career, Liebeck had more than 30 albums of his music released. Most of it was in Australia for different films and TV series. So we're going to hear some really cool music by one of my favorite composers, Sven Liebeck, starting with some music from the film Nickel Queen.
just wanna be with you.
Oh,
From a soundtrack album that's almost impossible to find, that was Sven Liebeck with some music from the film Nickel Queen, released back in 1970. We started with a tune called Jenny Blake, then we heard Go Anywhere, and then Look Every Day. And here's some music composed by Sven Liebeck for the TV series Ron and Val Taylor's Inner Space. Thank you. All right, some very cool music by Sven Liebeck from the TV series Inner Space, which was broadcast in Australia back in the very early 1970s. We heard Music for Eels, Dark World, and Island of Birds. Well, this is DJ Frederick. I think we're going to cruise on out here for this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop, the Library Music Edition. We'll spend the next 9 or 10 minutes listening to some music from the Australian Suite, very scarce LP by Sven Liebeck. Thanks for listening and wishing you many blessings.